Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church. It is good for us to be here. Once again, I'm Pastor Steve. Together, we're all St. John's, and it's Labor Day weekend. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I hope that everyone stays safe and healthy. We've gathered, though, today so that we can be in worship, giving thanks and praise to God. So let us begin our worship by joining together in the brief order for confession and forgiveness. Will the congregation please rise? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering hymn this morning is Our God's Alive, and we sing together.
Everyone, see what he has done. He has lifted us, he has overcome the power of the grave and the sin that once enslaved. Couldn't hold him in the ground, couldn't keep him down. Rise with a shout, cry out, our God's alive. Rise, holy fire, burn bright, burn bright. Rise with a shout, cry out for freedom. Rise, church, arise, our God's alive. Reigning on his throne, drawing ever close, giving us this hope. He'll never let us go. Death has been defeated. Jesus Christ, Redeemer, conquered hell and freed us. Forever we are saved. Rise with a shout, cry out, our God's alive. Rise, holy fire, burn bright, burn bright. Rise with a shout, cry out for freedom. Rise, church, arise, our God's alive. He alone can save us, he will not forsake us. He remains forever our Savior. See him reign in power, stronger than our failures, always and forever our Savior. Rise with the shout, cry out, our God's alive. Rise, holy fire, burn bright, burn bright. Rise with a shout, cry out for freedom. Rise, church, arise, our God's alive. God's alive.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord God, enliven and preserve your church with your perpetual mercy. Without your help, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful and lead us toward all that gives life and salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson this morning is from the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. So you mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you mortal, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from the 13th chapter of Romans, beginning at the 8th verse. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the words of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. This morning our Gospel comes to us from St. Matthew in the 18th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Allow me to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name's Kevin. He's a pastor. And he's also a figment of my imagination, all right? Over the years in my ministry, I have at times turned to story in order to help do a sermon, all right? And Kevin doesn't actually exist anywhere, but I do know that he's about 5'11", has a full head of sandy blonde hair that's going gray. He's clean shaven. He and his wife, Carrie, have three children. I know all of those things about him, but he's not real. He's actually an amalgamation of many pastors that I've known, many people that I've known, even myself, but it is not autobiographical. All right? All right. And like that FBI show with Jack Webb, you know, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. All right? But as I preach a story about Pastor Kevin, it's my attempt to continue Jesus' use of parables to help us in our thinking and to help our faith to grow. Pastor Kevin was sitting in one of his guilty pleasure spots. It was a bench at the park near the lake. Well, the lake really just looks like a large pond, and what it is in actuality is just a wide spot in a small river. But they call it Beaver Lake, and he's there on the bench. There are trees casting some shade. There's a bush on the shoreline. It's a favorite spot for Kevin to go as he sits thinking, sometimes about a sermon, sometimes about Bible study or catechism, and sometimes he's just not thinking at all. This was a hot summer day. Pastor Kevin had retreated to his favorite spot, wrestling with the sermon idea and thinking about changes for catechism that fall. But as he was sitting there on the bench, he noticed Leonard Gustafson walking along the path that goes by the lake. Now, Leonard looked so preoccupied that Kevin had to call out twice to him before Leonard looked up. But it also took him a minute to even see where Kevin was. But when he finally did, he waved lightly and he started straight towards Kevin was sitting. Leonard and Patty Gustafson had joined Kevin's church about 5 or 6 years ago. They'd been very active members of another congregation in town until there was a double scandal. The pastor and the treasurer were actively embezzling money from the trust fund, and one of the youth volunteers was being inappropriate with two other youth volunteers. With all of that trust in shambles, Leonard and Patty came to First, and they found a new home. Patty was active in the choir, in the women's Bible study. Leonard still was looking for that group or niche to be part of, but anytime there was a call for help, Leonard was there. Leonard came by Kevin, and he said, "I'm so glad to see you, Pastor. I might need some help." "I'd wondered what you were doing out here by the lake on a hot summer day," Kevin said. "I was trying to think. There's a lot on my mind, and I like wandering here at the lake, sort of clear my head." Pastor Kevin said, "I like coming here to think too. But what's on your mind?" "Corinne's back in town," he said. But he said it like it was a pronouncement or like something from an old gunslinger movie, you know, "Slick's back in town" kind of thing. "Who's Corinne?" Kevin asked. "Corinne is my niece's daughter, Corinne Hoagland. Maybe you've heard of her." Kevin thinks for a while. He says, "My daughter Megan talked about a Corinne when she was still in high school. She was kind of bad news, didn't finish school, got into drugs, I think." "That's her," Leonard says. "She's run our family ragged. And I think that trying to help her was one of the things that led to my brother Carl's heart attack. Carl loved her, and he wanted to help her. But she just kept taking and taking and taking, and he just kept worrying. It didn't help him, that's for sure. And now Carl's gone, and she's back in town." Leonard continued, "There's lots of things that she's done, Pastor. But she didn't come from the best home growing up. My niece and her husband went through some really horrible moments, and they eventually divorced. There had been rumors about Corinne being abused, but the truth of that actually never made it out even to us, and we're family. After that, starting right around junior high, Corinne started acting out, drinking, smoking marijuana. Then it was boys and harder drugs. She tapped out her college fund paying for drugs, and my brother sold the extra 40 acres we owned away from the family farm to pay for court costs. They tried rehab 2 or 3 times. She got pregnant and lost the baby because of drugs. She just couldn't stop. She would come back with a sob story, and she would try to clean up, and my brother would help. Her mom would help, and then she would come to a family function and rifle through the purses to look for money and vanish again. She did come back, though, for Carl's funeral. She loved her grandpa, and I think that his death really shook her. When she left quietly. There was no incident. She hadn't taken anything, and I don't know how to take that. I don't know what's going on, and now she's back. She didn't come to see me. She didn't come to see her mom. She talked to my daughter, Marilyn, said hi and some stuff. She's staying at the cheap motel out east side of town. Or at least that's what my daughter is saying. I don't know what's going on, and I just don't know what to do, Pastor. There's a part of me that wants to run out to her and hug her like I know my brother would have. And there's another part of me that just hopes she slips out of town again quietly with no more fuss. I told one of my friends, Jeff Tremont, he was at our old church. I told him that she was back in town, and he said that I should just go ahead and Matthew 18 her and be done. What's Matthew 18? Pastor Kevin had been listening to the entire story. And he'd been praying while Leonard was telling it. He finally answered Leonard and he said, well, for some people, Matthew 18 provides a way to sort of kick someone out of your life. It's the passage that says that if you're having problems with someone, talk with them one-on-one, and then bring two or three more, and then the whole congregation, and then treat them like a Gentile or a tax collector. Leonard was nodding. I remember that passage now, but I think I agree with what you said the last time you preached on that. Jesus treats Gentiles and tax collectors with love. He doesn't kick them out. So why do people think that it's about getting people out of your life? Pastor Kevin said, it's a misreading, or at least I think it is. They think that when Jesus says, treat them like a tax collector and a Gentile, that he's agreeing with the culture of his day, at least when it comes to tax collectors and Gentiles. You see, the culture around them drove them out. And some people see this passage as Jesus giving us permission to drive some people out of our lives. I think that what Jesus is saying is that there are going to be times when people close to us, whether they're family or friends, neighbors, those people we are caring about and loving with God's love, sometimes those people don't hear us when we speak out of tough love. They may not recognize their sin or recognize that they've hurt someone. You talk with them. You try to reason with them. You know how much you would love for them to understand, but Leonard, you know how much you like to hear that from someone yourself, don't you? And Leonard was nodding. Well, Jesus is trying to tell us that we should try harder than just one conversation. We should bring some others to witness and to help and to encourage you both to try to show that this is not a lynch mob. But for Jesus, not even that is sufficient. We should keep trying, bringing in as many people as we can so that the person you have trouble with can see that they're not alone, that they're loved and they're cared about. And finally, Jesus says that we should treat them like a Gentile or a tax collector. And I don't think that Jesus means that we should kick them out, but that we need to start over again from scratch and try all over. You see, Leonard, Jesus went around caring for people, listening to them, teaching them, healing and helping them, feeding them. Jews and Gentiles, righteous and sinners, Pharisees, Sadducees, anyone and everyone that he could was touched by the love of God through Jesus. He always started from the same place. God loves you. And God loves you too much to let you keep acting foolish. It was never give up with Jesus. And so I think that Matthew 18 in Corinne is a great idea. Never give up. God still loves her, and it sounds like you might still care about her as well. I do care, Pastor Leonard said. My wife and family too, we just don't know how to help. Now she's staying at that seedy motel out east of town, and I don't know if I should invite her to the house, leave her there, something else. I want to try to help. I think that my brother would have wanted us to try and help no matter how many times it took. I just don't know where to start. Kevin looked at Leonard and said, how about with dinner? Everyone needs to eat, even Corinne. Invite her to dinner with your family. If you thought it would be helpful, Carrie and I could come and be there, but just invite her to dinner. You could have a conversation around the dinner table, asking her the things that you need to ask, telling her how much you care. You should be able to get a sense of how things are going and maybe even get an idea of somehow that you could help. That's a great idea, Pastor. We could send Marilyn to invite her. Now I'll ask Patty if she would like you and Carrie to come, and I appreciate the offer. I just don't know how to help, but I know that I want to, and this sounds like a way to start. Leonard and Kevin talked for a little while longer, and then they went their separate ways. Leonard and Patty did invite Corinne for dinner, but what happened at dinner and afterwards is a story for another day. In today's gospel, Jesus is continuing to teach his disciples. He's continuing to teach you and me. He's continuing to try to stretch their imaginations and the worldview that they have been receiving from the culture around them. Because in Jesus' day, everyone knew the Gentiles, tax collectors, sinners, shepherds, and women were all to be carefully dealt with. Mostly they were just to be ignored, if not shunned. But the same was also to be said for people who had wronged you. They were to be written off and not bothered with any longer. Jesus has another idea. Keep trying. Keep caring. Keep listening. Keep loving. Keep loving with the love that comes to us from God. For Jesus, you don't stop trying. Talk with them. Bring friends and others. Continue to show them love. And then if you must, start all over from scratch and try again. Too often this teaching from Matthew, this teaching that comes out of Jesus' mouth, is used as a paddle or as a way to gang up on someone and eventually kick them out. Jesus wants us to see it as the exact opposite. We are called to continue to try to forgive, to try to bring the caring and love of God into the world, even to those people who are harming us. In Romans, Paul tells us that as Christians, we are to love each other. We are to run up a huge debt of love for each other. Because for Paul, love completes the law. No matter the commandment, it comes down to love. No adultery, no killing, no stealing, no coveting, it doesn't matter. How we live in faith is all about loving one another all the time, even people who frustrate us. But you see, the greatest good news that Jesus gives us today is that as we bring more and more people into this conversation with someone who is frustrating us, Jesus is there with us. Jesus says, bring two or three others, or bring the congregation. But then he promises that when two or three of us are gathered together, I am there among them. That's a promise. Now, there are times in my life when I'm not sure how to love as God loves, and I'm sure that the same can be said for most of you. But when two or three are gathered together, we can be sure that Jesus is with us. That's worth remembering. That's worth taking advantage of. Because what we get to do is we get to bring the love of God wherever we go. So let's bring it. Amen. Remembering and celebrating our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. Please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Drawn together in the compassion of God, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Unite your church, O God. Grant us the gifts of repentance and reconciliation. Bless the cooperative work of churches in this community. Strengthen ecumenical partnerships. Guide the work of Lutheran World Federation and the World Council of Churches. Lord, in your mercy, protect your creation, O God. Teach us ways that do not harm what you have entrusted to our care. Renew and enliven places suffering from drought, flood, storms, or pollution, especially Louisiana and Texas and California. Lord, in your mercy, turn nations and leaders from ways that lead to death. Shape new paths towards peace and cooperation, teaching us to recognize one another as neighbors. Guide legislators, civil servants, judges, and police towards laws that protect the well-being of all. Lord, in your mercy, tend to all in need of your compassion. Hear the cries of those awaiting justice and those yearning for forgiveness. Give community to the lonely and neighbors to the outcast. Shelter all who are vulnerable in body, mind, or spirit. We pray especially today for Gail. Lord, in your mercy, sustain us in our work, O God, and give work to those who need it. Shape societies to ensure fair treatment for all who labor. Help us to love our neighbors in and through our work. Lord, in your mercy, we remember with thanksgiving those who have died in faith. As you equipped them, equip us with your protection and power until with them we see your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Once again, we're not passing the plates. If you have had chance to drop off your offerings, know that we are grateful. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. And now, let us go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, shall I fear? Oh no, never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. And I can see a light that is coming from the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live on you here on the earth, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with God is with me. Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go. Is coming for the heart that holds on, and there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, and there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you.